If you've been with us on Sundays so far this year, you know that we've been making our way through the prophet Daniel. 6 weeks, the first six chapters. Now we come to the second half of Daniel, which changes in tone a good bit. We're going to look at a single chapter from the second half, chapter 10. I'll be reading selected verses to you from that chapter, along with a few verses from Ephesians chapter 6. Let's pray before we read God's word. Lord God, unless your Spirit comes, the Word is not open to us. But you've promised to open the Word and to take it into our hearts. So come, Holy Spirit, do just that. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of King Cyrus, a word was revealed to Daniel concerning a great conflict. I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 weeks, so I had eaten no rich food, nor had I anointed myself at all. I was standing on the bank of the Tigris River. I looked up and saw a man clothed in linen with a belt of gold. His body was like beryl, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the roar of a multitude. My strength left me, and my complexion grew deathly pale. Then I heard his words and fell into a trance, face to the ground. But then a hand touched me and roused me. He said to me, Daniel, greatly beloved, pay attention to the words that I speak to you. Stand on your feet, for I have been sent to you. So I stood up, trembling. He said to me, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the Persian kingdom opposed me for 21 days. So Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I left him there with the prince of the Persian kingdom and have come to help you understand what is to happen to your people at the end of days. Then I said, my Lord, because of the vision, such pains have come upon me that I retain no strength. I am shaking, and no strength or breath remain in me. Again he touched me and strengthened me. He said, do not fear, greatly beloved. You are safe. Be strong and courageous. I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? Now I must return to fight against the Persian prince, and when I am through with him, the Greek prince will come. But I am to tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is no one with me who contends against these princes except Michael, your prince. And then reading from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the usher came through the crowded theater and saw this man taking up three whole seats. He was sprawled across three entire seats. And he said, sorry, sir, but you're allowed only one seat here by your ticket. But the man didn't move. So the usher got impatient with him and said, sir, if you don't get up, I'm going to have to call the manager. But the man just ignored him, didn't say a thing. So he went to get the manager, and soon the two of them returned, and they tried to get the man to move, but he would not respond to them. And finally they called the police. And so they escorted this police officer into the theater to deal with this man spread across three seats. And the officer said, all right, buddy, what's your name? And the man moaned and said, Fred, but he didn't move. And the officer said, you know, you can't take three seats. Where'd you come from, Fred? And with a strain in his voice, Fred answered, the balcony, and they all had one of those, oh, now I get it moments. Now that's a goofy story. But the point of it is that sometimes there's more happening than first meets the eye. And when we see that something more, then we have an entirely different take on what's happening there before us. And that is what happened with Daniel. Now, Daniel'd seen a lot. He'd seen God move in some very marvelous ways. For example, he'd seen three men delivered from a fiery furnace. And he'd seen an angel come and close the mouth of lions as he was cast into the lion's den. He'd seen a lot. But even Daniel had more to see. As the curtain of spiritual realities was drawn back, and he got to see the battle going on all around him that was beyond what he could see with the natural eyes. Certain sections of the scripture specialize in this kind of unveiling. We call them apocalyptic literature, like the last half of the book of Daniel, and like the first half of the book of Zechariah, and like almost all of the book of Revelation. And there, if you've read in those, then you know they're full of all these strange creatures and symbolic language and events, and they reveal spiritual realities beyond our natural view, and they give us a preview of things yet to come. In fact, that word apocalypse means revelation. It means the drawing back of a veil, which is a good example, I mean, a good description, not just of what these sections of Scripture do, but what happens with us from time to time in our experience with the Lord. You may have noticed. He has a way of bringing us to these places where then the veil is drawn back, and we see more than we've seen before. We catch glimpses of spiritual realities that you can't simply recognize by looking directly. And those glimpses bring us to these moments like the guys in the theater had where the lights go on. You say, oh, now I see what's going on. You fell from the balcony. Oh, now I see what's going on spiritually. You've drawn back the veil and shown me. So that's what happens here in Daniel 10. And as we read this story, it has several effects upon us. One is particularly important for those of us who read it in this part of the world. We've been educated with a Western worldview. And by that, I mean that our way of assessing reality has been shaped more by the Enlightenment and empirical science than it has by the outlines of Scripture. We've been taught in 1,000 different ways that there's always some sort of natural explanation for everything that happens. And so we tend to be naturally skeptical of the supernatural. We figure there's some underlying cause that we just haven't been able to see yet. And we're fine with the supernatural in heaven. But down here, we figure that there must be some sort of natural law at work. Any of y'all study physics or chemistry at length? You remember Planck's constant? I bet none of us could quote it right now, but Max Planck was a German physicist who worked in the same era as Albert Einstein. And he discovered some of these important mathematical formulas that underlie quantum physics, one of which was named for him, Planck's constant. During that era, Planck and Einstein and others were discovering more and more about the natural workings of our world. And that led Max Planck to say this in 1937. He said, faith in miracles must yield ground step by step before the steady and firm advance of science, and faith's total defeat is just a matter of time. Now, he said it directly, but that's the worldview you have been soaked in as someone educated in the Western world. And like those guys who saw the man across the three seats, our view of the way things work tells us how to interpret these events before us. And we've been told to interpret them by the outlines of this Western worldview. But Daniel is telling us that there's more going on than meets the eye. For example, he prayed 21 days passed and there was no apparent answer. He couldn't see what was at play with that until the angel came and revealed that there was more going on than meets the eye. Now, just to see the angel would have been a stretch. Here's this guy whose whole body is blazing with light. When he speaks, his voice sounds like a roaring crowd. And the angel told Daniel what happened when Daniel prayed. He said, "From the first day you prayed, I came to bring you an answer. But along the way, I was hindered by the prince of the Persian kingdom." Now, what's that about? Well, that's the angel's apocalyptic kind of language to describe a demonic power that had been assigned to that geographical area, to Persia. And for some reason, that particular demonic power was opposing the angel as he was on his way to bring the answer to the prayer. And so he continued, "I was stuck fighting with him for 21 days till a more powerful angel, Michael, came and helped. Then I was released and able to come on to you." So think about the impact of this on Daniel. Daniel's seen a lot, but even as much as he'd seen, suddenly had his worldview expanded. He didn't know that all these battles were going on in the heavenlies when he prayed. It was more than meets the eye. He just knew he had prayed and he hadn't seen an answer. And it works the same with us. When we pray, the Lord often draws back the veil and shows us more of the spiritual reality in which we live. And he may do that when the prayer is answered immediately or when it's delayed. He may do that when the Spirit is answered in some miraculous, surprising way or when it's answered in a more ordinary sort of way. He gives us glimpses of what he's doing and shows us realities beyond what we've seen before. The realities that are underlying the natural appearance of things that Max Planck thought comprised the whole of reality. And when the Lord does that, then he broadens our worldview to include more of how he works beyond the ordinary range of our sights. And once we've had our view broadened, then we get more of those, "Oh, now I get it," kind of moments. And here's another way that the Lord broadens our vision. He helps us see that we're part of something much bigger than we knew. What did Daniel know before this? He knew already that the Lord intervened in our world because he'd been rescued from the lion's den himself. And he knew that the Lord could provide what he needed in a moment as the Lord had provided the interpretation for dreams and visions. What he didn't know was that the prayer he offered was part of a much bigger spiritual battle. He had no way of knowing why his prayer had gone unanswered for 21 days until the angel told him that his prayer had triggered a clash between angelic powers and demonic powers. And until the angel told him, he had no way of knowing that his prayers were somehow involved in taking on these demonic powers that were at work in that part of the world. Those powers described in this chapter as the princes of Persia and Greece. Daniel didn't know that, but once the angel came, he was made aware there was something more going on than he had seen before, which is what happens to us when we pray. When we minister in any way in the name of Jesus, there's more going on than we see with our eyes. It can be something very simple. You may be feeding the hungry. You may be comforting someone who's grieving or showing love to a child who's in a needy place. You may be singing in worship. You may be teaching the Bible or praying about any of a thousand different things. And when we're doing those things, we look around us and we think we know what's going on. We see what's happening. But here, we're told that in fact there's more happening than we see. That there are spiritual realities that are changed by the ministry you do with Jesus. When you engage in prayer, when you engage in acts of mercy, when you worship, when you share your faith, then something is happening in the heavenlies. Here's how Paul describes it in his letter to the Ephesians. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood enemies, but against the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this present darkness. Who knew? We just thought that we were caring for those who were in a bad place. We just thought we were saying a prayer, asking God to work. We didn't know that somehow we'd been pulled into this larger spiritual battle ongoing, which is what Daniel thought too, until the angel told him different. And just knowing that, I mean, just think about it. When you pray, it's not a little thing. Something big's going on beyond what you can see. Does it not make you want to dive in all the more boldly to be a part of what God is doing? And here's yet another way that the Lord broadens our vision. He lets us see that we, in fact, are on the winning side of this spiritual war. Never forget, the devil and his minions may trade blows with the angels of heaven, but they are no match for the Lord God Almighty. There is no doubt who is going to win the spiritual war. And however puzzling the images in this apocalyptic literature, this much is clear. The outcome's not in doubt. Whether you understand the particulars of any chapter in Daniel or Revelation, that much is clear. The Lord wins. Now, it's funny how sometimes something totally trivial sticks in our mind, but when I was thinking about that this week, I remembered a cheer that we used to do in my high school at football games. Not exactly high poetry, but when we would get ahead in a football game, hundreds of us in the stand would start with this cheer. Watermelon, watermelon, watermelon rind. Look on the scoreboard and see who's behind. You! Again, that's not going to make it into the literature class, but actually it's not even very good sportsmanship. But it was our way of strutting our stuff. I mean, we saw that our team was kicking their backsides and it just felt so good. And then we said it with a swagger. When you pray, when you care for the grieving, when you're in a place where it looks like it's a whole lot bigger than you are, look up at the scoreboard and see who's behind. The Lord wants you ministering with a bit of swagger. He is winning. And He's involved you in what He's doing to advance the kingdom of God. We get to be a part of that. What a privilege. This is why Paul wrote it this way. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Open your eyes and see whose side you're on and see who's winning. And step forward in boldness in the greatness of His strength. So, everywhere you look, every moment of ministry for Jesus, there's more going on than meets the eye. There's a God who is very good and very powerful, and He has shown His grace and His love for us in Jesus. And it's going to be okay. He wins. It's going to be better than okay. It's the kingdom of God advancing, and we get to be a part of it. Now let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your grace and Your power. We thank You that You've called us to something bigger than we are. Thank You that You show us as much as we need to see, and then from time to time You give us glimpses of that which is ordinarily beyond us, because You're ready for us to see yet more of what You're doing. Broaden our vision, deepen our sight, enable us to serve You boldly for the sake of Jesus. And we pray in His name, amen.